The betting calendar is absolutely loaded right now. Baseball in full swing. NBA, NHL playoffs already underway. If you want to get really spicy, you can even bet the WNBA. Look, I'm not judging. Action's action. The question is, where are you betting? Because that matters just as much as what you're betting. That's why I go to mybookie.ag. And why you should too. New to MyBookie? Use promo code ZABE on your first deposit. If your first bet loses, you get a full refund up to $500 back in free play, plus $25 in casino credit just for showing up. MyBookie.ag, promo code ZABE. Check the site for offer details and to confirm availability in your state. Bet smart, get paid. All right, quick word about Troll Co. Clothing. Here's what I actually love about this brand. It was started by two guys who worked the oil patch. Not marketers, not guys with corporate pitch decks. Workers. They looked around and could not find any clothing that represented the life they were living. So they made it themselves. Workwear, tees, hoodies, hats. Good quality stuff. The whole brand is built around a phrase you have probably heard. Dirty hands, clean money. The idea that hard, honest work is how you build a good life. And I think most people listening to this show understand that better than they're ever given credit for by the sports media machine. So if you want your gear from a brand that actually means something and was not assembled by a focus group, go check them out. Trollco.com/Zabe. That's TROLLCO.com/Zabe. And use code ZABE25 for 25% off your first order.
This is the ZabeCast, hosted by a Pop-Tart-loving kid from the mean streets of McLean, Virginia. And since you probably have other, more important podcasts to waste your time on, screw those AirPods in tight, and let's go.
Here we go! Monday, June 22nd, 2026. Thank you for downloading. Hope you had a great, maybe long weekend enjoying the Juneteenth federal holiday. And enjoyed the summer solstice and Father's Day. Today's ZabeCast is being put to bed early in the day because I got other stuff going on, including a broadcast on Game Day Garage, a simulcast, if you will, a pseudo bargain basement Manning cast of the Capital Golf Gang opposite the broadcast of the U.S. Open, which I cannot give you final results on, but I believe Wyndham Clark won. If he doesn't win with a six-shot lead, God help him. He'll take that one to his grave, even though he's already got one U.S. Open from 2023 out in L.A. This would be an all-time collapse. So, for more on the U.S. Open full recap, you can tune into the Capital Golf Gang. When that drops on Monday night, I believe, we'll have that episode in the can, and you can enjoy the full golf nerdery at that time. So, are we good at soccer now? Great question. Team USA rolls through Australia on a sun-kissed Friday afternoon in Seattle. 2-0, your final, marking back-to-back wins in the World Cup for the first time for the red, white, and blue since 1930. Think about that for a second. First time back-to-back wins since 1930. The six goals scored through just two games is one shy of the World Cup record for goals in a single tournament by the U.S. And the knockout stage date is set July 1st in Santa Clara as the group winner against a third-place group participant from somewhere else in the field. There is, by the way, a website. I believe it's on the BBC. And somebody did the math and ran the algorithm and put the programming in place so that it updates the knockout stage matchups in real time with every single match that goes on based on all the tiebreakers, goals scored, point differential, dot-da-dot-da-dot-da-dot. We don't know who we're going to play, although word is it's most likely to be Bosnia, and they're good, but we might be better. Are we ready as a nation? Are we prepared fully as a nation to be good at soccer? Like, we're great at just about everything else. Lord knows we have put enough effort and money and people and coaches and camps and orange slices towards being good at soccer. But for reasons that have already been stated, that I've already gone through before, we're just not on that world stage. It's not quite in our DNA. It's not quite in our culture. We have too many other things that are trying to draw away our best players and talent. Well, maybe now we're getting there. Of course, Flo Balogun, our best player, he's technically kind of not American, plays for us. He was born here, as I'm sure you've heard the story now. If I told it already, I'll tell it again quickly. His mom was trying to fly out of the country back to the UK, was severely pregnant, like 9 months plus. So pregnant that the airlines didn't let her on the plane because they were worried she would give birth over the mid-Atlantic. So they made her stay in New York. And so Flo was born in the States. So he's American in that regard. And he's chosen us, which is also wonderful that he said, you know what, I'll play for Team USA. But if we're good at soccer, if we're really elite at the World Cup, then we have to start reorienting our expectations to think, you know what? We should probably win this thing at some point. Two goals in that win against Australia, in which they had tilted the field quite heavily in their favor, attacking the Australian goalkeeper. First goal was an own goal, a whoopsie, a damn, shouldn't have kicked that in my own net goal. Apparently there are five of those goals in U.S. World Cup history, own goals by the other team, and that is now tied with Landon Donovan with five goals for the most goals scored in the World Cup for Team USA. But we're going to start rewriting all that shit. Also, Alex Freeman, the son of Antonio Freeman, pride of Baltimore, Maryland, by way of the Green Bay Packers. Alex Freeman scored on a header that VAR, I can't believe I'm saying this, actually kind of got right. Well, it didn't kind of get it right. It did. Are you in favor of replay? Well, in soccer, here's the deal. They have the cameras now and the technology to more precisely determine, was a defender's leg still behind Freeman at the moment the ball crossed? And the answer was yes, therefore the play is onside. And was it relatively quick? Yeah. And is it only on things that are super important, like a goal, which in football is essentially four touchdowns equivalent? Then yeah, I guess I'm sort of pro replay in that regard. I know. I'm going to lose my certificate as a genuine, bona fide, dyed-in-the-wool, militant anti-replay. But it seemed to work in that case. Either way, this coach we got is coaching his ass off because he did so this 2-0 win without Christian Pulisic, who got to rest his injured calf that got kicked in the Paraguay game. He'll have more time to rest it as well. We're going to make sure to rest the guys that got red card or yellow cards prior because there's a sit out once you get your second yellow card. Hold that thought when it comes to reds and yellows for a second. And everything is shaping up great. We're playing at home. We're going to get a weak sauce third place team. Tickets for that game are skyrocketing. Darren Revelle reported that it's been known that if the USA wins its group, they would likely play July 1st in Santa Clara, and those tickets had been available on the secondary markets for $700-$800. Now, the cheapest get-in for that match is $3,000 and climbing. In fact, let me read you this one tweet here regarding the tickets. Hold on a second. See, this is what happens when you have 50 tabs up. It's not as convenient as you think. Oh, I'll just bring some tabs up, and it'll be easier to reference in real time what I'm looking for here. The total net worth or value of all those tickets that are on the market now is almost like, I don't know, like $500 million worth of tickets for one soccer match. It's crazy. So we'll see if those ticket prices are actually, shall we say, exploratory on the upper end to see what you can get at this time, or if they're going to come down, or maybe they're going to go up even further. What a day to be alive in America to see that we are shockingly good at soccer, steamrolling our way to maybe heights we have never seen in this event, and tickets are $3,000, $4,000, $5,000 just to get in. Oh, here it is. Of course, I clicked through every tab I had for a long time. I finally found it. Theo Jaffe on Twitter. These are ticket prices for round of 32 World Cup game in Santa Clara, July 1st. That's around $333 million in seat revenue alone for one game that isn't even close to the finals. We live in an incomprehensibly wealthy society. Oh, no question about that. So let's see. The cheapest is $32.84. Or $32.08 is the cheapest at Levi's. Oh, sorry, can't call it that. But also, did you see on the cover up front? So Levi's covered up their logo with a silhouette outline of a tarp mirroring the iconic Levi's Batman-like tag. Gillette went one step further. They covered the name Gillette with a giant pile of fake shaving cream over their logo. Mwah! Chef's kiss. $3,200 cheapest ticket, top row, up near the moon in section 415. You want to get closer? $7,000, $9,000. $20,000 for a ticket way down by the low part of the pitch where you really probably can't see much. It's crazy. But on the ticket front, I'm learning more and more because I don't buy tickets on the secondary market very much, rarely. StubHub once in a while, if that. I'm learning about how the game works, and the game is dirty. As Stuart Scott once said, don't hate the player, hate the game. Hate the game of secondary ticketing. This tweet series is from Brad Brickell, founder and CEO of Heartland Tickets, sports and concert tickets for the Kansas City Royals, Oklahoma City Thunder, Colorado Avalanche, blah, blah, blah. He writes, seeing a lot of World Cup fans saying tickets should be delivered instantly via download. While I agree with them, they should be. Now, I bet some of you who don't buy in the secondary market are saying, what do you mean they're not instant download? Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's the thing. You can buy the tickets. You can give them your money. And then they say, okay, the event's next week. We'll let you download the ticket 24, 48 hours prior, but not now. And you're like, well, I just want the ticket now. I just want to get this out of the way. I want to make sure I've got it. I want to look at it on my phone. In a perfect world, I'd love to have the ticket in my grubby little fingers. No, can't do that. Says Brad Brickell of Heartland Tickets, I agree with them. They should be available on instant download. It wasn't long ago when that was the most common delivery of ticket, common method of ticket delivery. So what happened? And what has been the consequences? Well, the overarching reason this changed is box offices wanted cradle-to-grave control over the tickets. 100% control is still their holy grail and will likely never be achieved, but every step they've taken over time is a further attempt to get as close to that as possible. 10 years ago, they began delaying delivery of tickets to the original buyer for select events. Then a lot of events, the entire packages of season tickets. This step was taken as they were developing tech to gain more control and obtain customer data at the same time. After a brief time where the option of a physical ticket, a PDF, or a screenshot were all available to fans. The new rolling barcode / QR code came along, first with flash seats, and then quickly became the only option for most events after Ticketmaster's SafeTix went live. Yeah, see, they want cradle-to-grave control, and they want to mine your data, but they're going to wrap it in a term called SafeTix, because it's for your safety. Whenever someone says something is for your safety, or that this unpopular decision is for the kids, guess what? Number one bullshit. It's not for safety, and it's not for the kids. The keys to the rolling barcode for companies like Ticketmaster and AXS and FIFA are twofold: control over transfer and resale, and harvesting data. The data piece is common across tech industries, and the populace has largely thrown up their hands and surrender. Of course we have. What are we going to do if I want to go to this game and I don't have access to an original pristine ticket somehow? What am I going to do? So the control piece means you can't send tickets to other people until they say you can, and you can't post a listing for sale on any marketplace other than their own where the customer can expect to receive their digital tickets at the same time that they buy them. Professional sellers and tech companies that serve them are doing everything they can to get tickets to fans as soon as possible once an order is placed. And if the tickets aren't restricted, fans will often get a transfer within minutes of buying, but FIFA is not set up for this. So what happens sometimes is that, so the person that says, I'm selling my tickets on the secondary market, and you buy them for $1,000 a piece, let's say. When it comes time to give up the tickets from the original person that owns them, they might go, you know what? These are now worth $2,000. I think I'm going to go to the game. And they don't sell you the tickets. Well, StubHub hits them with a 200% penalty, the seller, and the ticket buyer gets a 100% refund of their money, which is the bare minimum, but you wanted to go to the game. You didn't want a refund at the last minute. You wanted to fucking go to the game. Now what are you going to do? You're going to have to scramble. Plus, when you bought those tickets for $1,000 a month ago, and it was a lot, but you had a feeling they would go up in price, now the ticket seller reneged, and all you got was your money back. The only way to go to the game, after promising little Timmy on his birthday 3 months ago, Papa, can we go see Paraguay in the World Cup? Pick a team. Sure, you didn't ask for Paraguay. Then now you're going to have to go shopping for tickets that are $2,000 a piece or more, or who knows what. Now, the funny thing is, and I say funny because it's not funny, is that who profits the extra 100% on the penalty for the seller not delivering? Why, StubHub does. What cut goes to the buyer who got screwed and little Timmy who's in tears of that 100% penalty markup? Nothing. But again, what are we going to do about it? How can we rise up and revolt? I don't think there is any way to do that, unfortunately. And other than Congress getting involved and the courts getting involved, and I know that Ticketmaster recently got whacked with a giant antitrust judgment by the courts. I don't know where that stands now, but still. Going to things, going to games, it can be fun. It is often overrated, but it's getting more and more expensive all the time. Now, let's talk about this coach we have who wears fishing shirts on the sideline, or a bowling shirt, or a TJ Maxx discount rack. Please, just give us $10 and take this shirt out of our sight. Mauricio Pochettino. Guy's doing a great job. Why is he doing a great job? Because they won two games. Is that a small sample size? Of course it is. But Pochettino, being Argentinian, is not of the U.S. soccer ecosystem. And he was blunt in an interview with El País, I don't know what outlet that is, last week, arguing that the absence in America of relegation at the pro level in MLS changes how players understand pressure. He said, we told them, meaning the U.S. team, guys, playing soccer is one thing. Competing is another. They are two completely different sports. The former center back, who played back in the day, added, if you start in MLS and you haven't won a game in 3 months and you're at the bottom, what's the consequence if there's no promotion or relegation? No international competition. American sports rewards losers. This is our coach. I love this guy. But soccer is different. If you reward those who don't win, if you don't have goals, you don't fight. If I lose, what happens? Nothing. They just fire the coach. Oh, yeah. We love firing coaches in America. That's what we do best. And you know what? We not only fire coaches a lot, every fifth caller to any sports talk radio station in America is a call about we should fire this loser coach we have. And then we pay those coaches out to sit on the beach and sip a Mai Tai and do nothing. It's amazing. Such a wasteful country we are in so many ways. Pochettino said, if the American player is disciplined, but with a sense of complacency that isn't good in soccer. It took us a year and a half to change that mentality. People have argued, and I've had this discussion topic on various sports radio shows throughout the year. We've tried to suss out relegation, promotion in our sports leagues. And it's a wonderful idea to think that we could maybe relegate the Jets to a minor league football system, but we don't have a minor league NFL. Well, we do. It's called the SEC. But we don't have that. And there's so much corporate money tied up into the Jets, even though they do suck. Still being the Jets and being this economic engine of the Mike Greenbergs of the world, pawning over their money for a Wayne Krabet jersey and to go to at least a couple games a year. There's too much money in this country for relegation. It ain't gonna happen. But yes, it would change a lot of mindsets. We also have big, fat, insane, guaranteed contracts. So there's that. Then there's this on the lower end of soccer. And for those of you who are soccer parents, who were soccer parents, soccer moms, soccer dads, soccer uncles, the youth soccer ecosystem is apparently a nightmare. It's a hellscape of unbelievable proportions. Landon Donovan tells this story about his own son, who's 8 years old, who got relegated himself, maybe it's a good thing, to the B team at their soccer club. This is the son of Captain America, the most decorated, widely known, and yeah, his hair is fake. He's admitted that. Soccer player in U.S. history. Take it away.
But it hit me in the face 2 weeks ago with my own son, my 8-year-old. He's been on a team, big club in San Diego for 2 years. These kids, Dan, love each other. I mean, they are brothers. They're hanging out all the time. It has brought my son so much joy. And the club recently, because they wanted to get bigger and faster and stronger, my kid's little, about 4 or 5 of the younger kids, smaller kids, are now getting moved down a team and they're bringing in these bigger, these are 8-year-olds. And I called the people and I said, what are you guys doing? I was crying in bed with my son and my wife 2 weeks ago, telling him he was now on the B team and that he's not going to be with his friends. And we're trying to couch it like, this will be great for you. You'll play more. And he just said to me, this broke my heart. He said, I just want to play with my friends. And it broke my heart. And so now I'm like, okay, here we go. I'm changing this because this is BS. You can't do this. If they're 16, I get it. They're, whatever. They're 8 years old. And now he's going to fall out of love with the game a little bit because of this. And that's not worth it. There was a massive study done 7 years ago. There's a German study, the correlation between the best 12-year-old and whether or not they become professionals. You know what the correlation was? Zero. There was a zero correlation. So that's at 12. Now, maybe at 14, it changes a little. Maybe at 16, it definitely changes. At 18, for sure, it changes. But these, again, these kids are 8 years old. So my thing is make sure they love the sport first and foremost. and then make sure they're getting better. Throw the winning, throw all that crap out the window. When they get older, yes, I agree. But these are 8-year-olds, 10-year-olds, 6-year-olds. We need to stop. It's not worth it. The other side of your coin is there are millions of kids that are falling out of love with the sport, quitting at 13, 14 because they don't want to deal with their parents yelling or the coaches or the pressure. And that's not good for the sport. I'm trying to build soccer. If my kids are falling out of love with it, imagine what the rest of the country's dealing with.
Wow. Good stuff right there. As you think about it, we do have it pretty much ass backward. We apply ruthless pressure and survival of the fittest mentality at the youngest ages in our sports development, either leading to kids being disillusioned, burnt out, or otherwise, when it doesn't correlate, as Donovan pointed out, when it comes to 8-year-olds. And then once they become pros, they make millions of dollars and nobody's ever held accountable if the team sucks or the player is not giving full effort. All we do is fire the coach and we don't have relegation at the pro level. It is completely fucking backward. Here's a scenario for you. It's a Tuesday night. There's a game on. Maybe it's good, maybe not. Who knows? Could go sideways by the fourth inning. But if you're still parked on the couch, what are you going to do? MyBookie.ag Casino. That's what you do. Slots, blackjack, roulette, right there on your phone. And their live dealer tables are genuinely impressive. A real person dealing cards on a live feed. Feels a lot more like a casino than clicking a computer game, that's for sure. Use promo code ZABE at MyBookie.ag. New players get $25 in casino credit on their first deposit automatically. And if your first sports bet loses, they refund it up to $500 in free play. MyBookie.ag, promo code ZABE. Check the site for offer details and to confirm availability in your state. Bet smart, get paid. One last soccer thing. There was a red card issued to Miguel Almirón of Paraguay for, get this, covering his mouth while on the pitch. He said something, but he covered his mouth like this. And that is now an automatic red card, which warrants an ejection. To be sent off, as they say. FIFA introduced this because of what else? Racism. You know, so much is made of just how supposedly racist and horrible America is, but international soccer has dealt with some of the worst racism through the years, including certain stadiums and countries having to be banned from international competitions because they were making monkey chants against opposing black players and throwing bananas on the field and worse, horrible, horrible shit. So on the one hand, I get it. You shouldn't need to cover your mouth for anything. If you're going to say something on the pitch, just say it. You don't need to cover your mouth. You're not relaying any secrets. You're not sending in a play like you're Sean Payton on the sideline. Okay, Red Rocket, right? Tango X Jet on 4. Just say what you got to say. On the other hand, who knows? Who knows what maybe you don't want your mouth covered or showing for if you're saying, hey, go guard him a little bit closer on the wing. It seems kind of stupid, but it's the rule now, and we've seen the first red card for that. Poor Miguel Almirón sent off for Paraguay. LA Rams star Cam Curl says it's, quote, crazy that NFL players are expected to pay full price for World Cup tickets. Quote, it's crazy. Y'all at our stadium. Our stadium. That's not exactly how it works. Simping for Freddie. Your boy, El Baldo, yesterday went sort of viral with a take that I didn't even think was that hot. But I looked this morning at my responses, and I got 342 comments on this post I made. So everyone knows by now about Freddie LA7, the anonymous German tourist who is here in the States to enjoy the World Cup and has been marveling at how, wow, I love this place, Buc-ee's and wide open roads and Ford F-150s and Louisiana. And he's become a cultural sensation. A social media viral sensation. The snowball has picked up speed, is picking up mailboxes and fences along the way, and he's getting all kinds of stuff, including VIP treatment from J.J. Watt in Houston, and tickets and meet and greets with the lovely Ella Langley at her concert, ostrich boots, which are apparently very expensive. He's been getting the royal carpet ride. I had no problem with the story in its early nascent infancy, but it's gotten out of fucking control. Okay, people? And he hit the wall of the full American experience just over the weekend. Here's what he tweeted. He said, "Oh no, our connecting flight from Dallas to Canada has been canceled due to weather. They rebooked us on a flight tomorrow evening. We're gonna miss the Germany match. Broken heart emoji." Well, from that tweet, an unbelievable array of powerful people swung into action, including the CEO of American Airlines and J.J. Watt himself and private jet companies and, for some reason, the governor of Utah. What? Thanks, governor. We don't need your help here. Freddie ended up making it to Canada despite this otherwise regular part of American fucking travel, especially on American Airlines. So I tweeted the following. This is ... Let me choose my words carefully here. ... Fucking bullshit. Freddie wanted the American experience. Well, buddy, you should be sitting on hold with American Airlines for an hour and a half only to get hung up on. That's the America the rest of us know. I'm over this whole thing. That was my tweet. I thought it was a good one. I thought it would get a lot of people going, yeah, you know what, you're right. One guy, at least, a handful of guys, but one guy, my bald doppelganger brother-in-arms down in Houston Radio, Sean Pendergast. I need to get him on the podcast so we can finally connect. He replied in all caps, "Thank you, Zabe." He was one of the few that responded positively. Oh my God, the simping for Freddie. The caping up for this German who's never shown his face is incredible. People are just like, "You're just bitter. Wow, who peed in your Cheerios this morning?" And just comment after comment. Like I said, 343 comments. Now, there was 1.4 thousand likes, so I don't think I got ratioed. I think getting ratioed is more comments than likes. So, thank God I didn't get ratioed. Good thing is, A, I can't get canceled, not employed. B, any kind of, you know, engagement, social media, raises my profile. It's a good thing. So, have at it, people. But the way people were, like, so mad at me for just saying this is fucking bullshit, he should have to sit on hold for 90 minutes and get hung up on. Yeah, because here's the thing. People get fucked by the airlines in this country on a regular basis, in egregious fashion, in a way that many of us say, how come we don't have laws against this, this, and this? Where's our government? How are airlines allowed to do this? Shouldn't they be responsible if they fuck your flight up and they can't get you to a city and the next one is not till tomorrow to at least give you a voucher for a hotel? Shouldn't the airlines have to pool together to build a large, nice hotel that is of at least a Hilton equivalent, right at every airport? Build it right at the airport. Don't book any rooms ever from outside of the airport itself. Just have it be a holding pen, which is, hey, you know what? Fucked up. Flight can't leave till tomorrow. Mechanical, weather, pilots timed out, whatever. But guess what? Luckily, we have this large 500-room hotel and free room. Here, just take this escalator down. Take the quick little tram over to it. It's right across the street there, and we'll see you in the morning. That's what they should do. But no, my point was just, hey, he's having the ride of his life. He's getting free ostrich boots, the royal treatment, going to concerts, yada, yada, yada. And then he lost sight of the fact that traveling in America, especially in the summer with weather delays and thunderstorms, can be problematic. And that you should, if the most important thing was to come to America and watch your beloved Germany, Freddy, LA7, then get to Canada sooner. Get there with at least a day of wiggle room. This would have been the ultimate lesson. This would have helped old Freddy LA7 grow as a man to miss that match. And God forbid me saying it's bullshit that the CEO of American swung into action. Next time you're delayed and your family, they're not going to swing into action for you. Fuck you. What are you, an American who pays taxes? You know, you're shit to us. We want to help this celebrity out, this newfound viral celebrity, this guy who won't show his face. Apparently, he doesn't want to show his face for hashtag reasons. I don't know what the reasons are. I don't care. There are now conspiracy theories that he is a plant to help promote how great America is and for companies to be able to pour their efforts into to let him go viral, that he may be an actor or something. I don't know. That if they see his face, people will Google search his face, they'll dox him, and they'll figure out, hey, wait a minute, this guy's not from Germany. He's from Toms River, New Jersey. And he's being paid by MasterCard to go on all these adventures. Here's one for you. We never see his face. We never hear his voice, yet his name is plastered all over this app. Huge companies are reaching out. He's been offered opportunities, experiences that millions of Americans will never have in their own country. Am I the only one who finds this odd? No, I do too. Now, I'm not going as far as to say he's a plant. Another tweet. Okay, this is getting weird. What started as a wholesome story about discovering the hidden beauty of America has turned into a corporate and celebrity clout grab. I hope I'm wrong, but something stinks with Freddie. Probably a nice guy. We don't know. But you don't know him either. And you're coming at me on Twitter with your claws out to simp for him. And I understand it's because people want to be nice. And they also want to lash out at people they think are mean. And so my tweet came off as mean or uncaring or unsympathetic to say, oh, you fucked up, buddy. If you wanted the real American experience, be on hold with customer service for an hour and a half and then get fucked. Nope, that was too mean. Or at least it was mean adjacent. And people want to be nice and they want to be sympathetic and they want to be liked. And so if you're nice, then somebody likes you back. And here's a German guy purportedly in our country enjoying the World Cup. Let's be nice to him. Well, fuck, we've been super nice to him. I've said nice things about him, but it's snowballed out of control now. And so anytime anyone says something that is, nope, sorry, draw the line. It's too mean or mean adjacent, if you will. And next thing you know, people are lashing out at the person that's just saying no. I would argue it's a dad stance. A firm dad stance on this Father's Day that dad says, no, sorry. This is called consequences. And I now know why so many people vote for Democrats, because they want to be nice. Oh, I'd be nice. This is the nice thing. This feels nice. It sounds nice. It looks nice. It makes me feel good. I'm a good person. Look at what I'm doing here. Well, is it the right thing? Is it the thing that is appropriate for what consequences should arise? That's the better question. But many people don't care about it. So go ahead, people. I'm out here for you on Twitter to be your pinata for your simping for Freddy LA7, whoever the hell that is. I figured I'd conclude today with a nod to the summer solstice, the longest day of the year in the Northern Hemisphere. I love the summer solstice because as a golfer, I remember as a kid playing on June 21st or thereabouts and enjoying the incredible long days where it was light enough to keep playing almost until 9 o'clock as you would get into nautical twilight and then the faint gloaming of what's left of the light up until about 9 o'clock. It's warm, it's summer, the days are long, it's wonderful. Of course, when you're talking solstice, you have to talk about Stonehenge, because Stonehenge is widely believed to be sort of a monument that is an homage to the solstice. According to AI Overview on Google, the summer solstice is the astronomical event marking the longest day and shortest night of the year in the Northern Hemisphere. Occurring on June 21st, it's the exact moment in the Earth's axial tilt, reaching its maximum inclination toward the sun. Cultural significance include sites like Stonehenge in the UK, which are aligned with the sun's position on the summer solstice, drawing thousands of visitors each year. I kind of want to go to Stonehenge because it does kind of blow me away. And then I think, it's hard to get to, and it'll just be another tourist trap where there's a bunch of long lines, porta potties, traffic, and you'll be like, I came all this way just to see this. But that said, I figured I would pay an homage to the greatest song ever written about Stonehenge. That is Spinal Tap's self-titled Stonehenge. Stonehenge, where the demons dwell, where the banshees live, and they do live well. Stonehenge, where a man's a man, and the children dance to the pipes of Pan. Stonehenge, 'tis a magic place, where the moon doth rise with a dragon's face. Stonehenge, where the virgins lie, and the prayers of devils fill the midnight sky. And you, my love, won't you take my hand? We'll go back in time to that mystic land where the dewdrops cry and the cats meow. I will take you there. I will show you how. That is the incredible group of Michael McKean, Christopher Guest, and Harry Shearer, a.k.a. David St. Hubbins, Nigel Tufnel, and Derek Smalls from the legendary early 80s mockumentary This Is Spinal Tap, directed by the great Rob Reiner. May he rest in peace. Horrible, horrible way that whole thing ended with Rob Reiner and his son. But this movie strikes a chord, pun intended, with my generation because me and my buddies like Alan Abbasi, who played guitar and was in my garage band, absolutely watched the living shit out of this movie on VHS over and over and over again. And it tickled our funny bones. I think it kind of still holds up pretty well. But it's partly because those guys, McKean, Guest, and Shearer, actually played the instruments and sang the songs that were part of the movie. Which is pretty incredible to think about that they could do that, that they were decent enough musicians. The songwriting was done by the three of them along with Rob Reiner. And the songs include such bangers as Tonight I'm Gonna Rock You Tonight, Big Bottom, Stonehenge, and others. The musical ability added to the film's realism as a mockumentary, says Grock. The trio later released albums as Spinal Tap, such as Break Like the Wind, and they actually performed concerts live in character. I had forgotten that another Spinal Tap came out. This would be Spinal Tap 2, The End Continues, released in theaters on September 12th of last year. It's now widely available. I forgot to watch it. I now need to go find it. Watch it tonight, maybe. But that led me, as I went to go find quickly on YouTube a version of Stonehenge I could play on the way out the door here, I quickly found, oh my God, what's this video? Spinal Tap Stonehenge featuring Elton John? What? Official video. And sure enough, for the movie, they did a collab with the great Elton John. And if you watch the video, please ignore how age remains undefeated and how the young and vibrant and blackish brown-haired Derek Smalls is now an old, white-haired, Gandalf-like looking man. I love Harry Shearer. Please ignore that. And just appreciate that they actually got Elton John to do Stonehenge.
ancient times, hundreds of years before the dawn of history, lived a strange race of people.
The Druids.
The Druids. No one knows who they were.
No one knows
what they were doing. But their legacy remains hewn into the living rock of Stonehenge.
Yes, here we go.
Stonehenge, where the demons dwell, where the bad to live and the do live well.
That's Elton John.
The band and the children dance to the pipes and pan. Where the virgins lie and the prayers of devils fill the midnight sky. And you, my love, won't you take my hand?
It's great background harmony.
Time to that mystic land where the new drums cry and the cats meow. I will take you there. I will show you how.
Oh. I so love it. That's it for me today. Thank you so much for listening. As always, rate and review and tickle the algorithmic overlords. And remember, when you are making a monument for Stonehenge for the stage, be clear about inches versus feet, because that can get in the way.
Might come too soon.
The betting calendar is absolutely loaded right now. Baseball in full swing. NBA, NHL playoffs already underway. If you want to get really spicy, you can even bet the WNBA. Look, I'm not judging. Action's action. The question is, where are you betting? Because that matters just as much as what you're betting. That's why I go to mybookie.ag. And why you should too. New to MyBookie? Use promo code ZABE on your first deposit. If your first bet loses, you get a full refund up to $500 back in free play, plus $25 in casino credit just for showing up. MyBookie.ag, promo code ZABE. Check the site for offer details and to confirm availability in your state. Bet smart, get paid.